Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach 360, on September 29th, 2017. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/ The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And joining us today as co-host and co-interviewer is the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Mark Lipps. And, of course, with us because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Mark, how are you guys doing today?
Doing fantastic.
I'm doing exceptionally well, Joe. I had my doctor's appointment yesterday, and I just want to give a shout-out to my doctor, Dr. Natalie Zelta. She is like the best doctor ever. I've been going to her for years. She spends, I am with her for like an hour and a half every time I go to an appointment.
She is totally an exception these days.
She is so thorough. She is so thorough. I got a tetanus shot yesterday. She's so thorough, and I love her to death. And she's with Torrance Memorial's Physicians Network, and their office is right on the corner of it's right over Pier Avenue in Hermosa Beach. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple of doctors in there. She has a couple of partners in there, and it's such a wonderful office. And you know, throughout the office, they have giant blown up photographs on metal. You know how everybody's doing photographs on metal now? Every photo is a Randy Ruby photo. You know our friend Randy Ruby, the local photographer?
Yes, I do.
Anyway, she's fabulous. She's fabulous. And, I've spoken to you about, I've been going in, I've been doing the blood work for her because she was concerned about my cholesterol and my sugars and my, all that stuff. And we've been working on that all year to get all those numbers down. And I had to warn her that, I had the blood taken on Monday, but I went to the Lobster Festival on Sunday. So my triglycerides shot up through the roof again. But other than that, she can't believe how healthy I am.
Okay.
So
well,
if
we're going to talk about health, I'm into 14 days of my 60-day challenge, and I defy anybody to kick sand in my face because I am kicking butt. And I'm sorry. Hey, let me tell you, I am starting to look at the mirror a lot more.
Okay.
Have you lost?
I feel like I'm starting to fill out these shirts in the right areas. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Right.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So now,
but
tell us about your regimen.
The nutrition is the tough part. If I could be a monk on the nutrition, it's portion control. I'm not eating bread. I'm not eating a lot of sugar or anything like that. But there have been a couple of times I've gone back for seconds, and I really need to stop that.
Well, we have to point out that Mark is married to Tammy, the fabulous cook.
Lives.
Tammy
Tammy, the chef, Tammy of the Ripe Choice Catering. Tammy knows
right.
how to cook. So anybody that would be married to Tammy,
yeah.
I'm sure, would not have any problem eating.
Killing me.
Right? Right. But let me ask you something. Let me ask you something. Does she knows that you're doing this. Does
oh, no. She's very good. She will have, you know, some fish and greens, you know, salad and all of that waiting for, you
so
know.
So she's supporting you.
Oh, yeah.
She's supporting
absolutely.
You.
Yeah.
But
and that's what I'm saying.
You're...
But the thing is, I go back for that second helping of the fish.
Yes.
And, you know,
yes.
at least it's that. It's not second helping of, you know, mashed potatoes and gravy and something like that.
All right.
But,
okay. So she's supporting you, but you're.
Yeah.
You, yeah, okay. All right. Okay. It's
oh,
all
no,
on
we're
you.
We're all our own worst enemies.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so. In case you didn't catch that, ladies and gentlemen, it's theripechoice.net. Theripechoice.net. For
that
all your catering.
That is correct.
Theripechoice.net. Well, that's fantastic. I'm really glad to hear about that, Mark. I want to hear more about your regimen. I don't have a regimen. I lost 65 pounds in the last year and a half, but I don't have a regimen.
Well, that's because
I eat
you're plant
old food.
Because you're plant based, right?
I'm plant based. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
So
he,
you know,
he munches on microgreens all day
yeah,
long. That
know,
bad, right, Joe?
You know, it's boring if you just do. Well, oh, I have to tell you the latest thing in my whole foods plant based life is I bought an Instapot. My wife
an Instapot. Yeah, that's legal now.
Insta.
Forgot.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'm sorry. No, this is the one, Insta pot. It's a pressure cooker. It's a steamer, rice steamer. It's just it cooks food in multiple ways. We did some pressure cooking of beans. Well, normally you have to soak them overnight, and then you have to cook them for 2 or 3 hours. It takes 2 days to make beans the normal way. With Instapot, 40 minutes, and you're done.
Oh.
It's incredible.
Huh. Hey, let me ask you something, Joe. Do you do most of the cooking? Does Terry do most of the cooking? Do you share cooking responsibilities? How does that work?
When it's technical, I probably do it. So if, for instance, the Instapot and it's a pressure cooker and my wife said, open manual, you read it, you figure out how it works, and then tell me how it works and then get out of the way. So
see, if I said that to my husband, we wouldn't eat.
Yeah.
We would never eat. We would be dead. Huh.
Well, I mean, she does cook. Quite a bit. I mean, I think she cooks the majority of the meals. I just love, you know, working with the tools.
The techie stuff.
And it's kind of techie, but it's really easy and simple. It's Instapot. Check it out on Amazon. Check out the reviews and, you know, cook a lot of rice and beans and legumes and get healthy.
I always say, is it legumes or legumes? It sounds French,
I think
doesn't
it's technically legume, but I don't like the legume. French pronunciation. You know those French.
I know, but I think it's a beautiful language. Listen, this is going to be a free-for-all today, so you want to give out the number now?
Yeah, absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Manhattan Beach Chamber Chat with Mark Lips right here on the South Bay Show, and we would love for you to call in. Today we have a 50-minute hour where we can talk about whatever's going on in Manhattan Beach, whether it's business or government related or whatever you think you want to talk about. If it's Manhattan Beach related, I think we're into it. Give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's area code 714-242-5288. 288. We'd love to have your comment or question regarding Manhattan topics.
Well, let me tell you something. Let's get right to it because I was very excited to see on the front page of the Beach Reporter yesterday that Manhattan Beach has set aside a substantial amount of funds for public art.
Yep.
Now, public art, let me tell you something. You know, a lot of cities do it. A lot of cities have been doing it. A lot of local cities have been doing it. Redondo Beach has a very vibrant public art program.
Mm-hmm.
Hermosa Beach has public art, but they don't have necessarily a commission for it. They work with the groups that make it happen. But Manhattan Beach just put aside a whole pot of money for it. I am such a fan of public art. It brings pride to a neighborhood, to a community.
Well, what's happening is there's been a real renaissance in communities embracing public art everywhere. And what people have discovered, if you have an area of your community that needs to be lifted up, bring in the artist. Bring in artwork, and people will make that a destination. They will come to it. And then while they're there, they'll go have breakfast or lunch or dinner, or maybe they'll buy a T-shirt, or maybe they'll buy a hat or buy something. Maybe they'll get their hair done, you know, or whatever. But they'll use the area. And we've discovered with murals, for instance, that people – that's a hobby. People look for these murals. They try to find these murals. And the public art, if it can resonate, if it's something that will resonate, and so there's the trick is, you know, putting something out there that will resonate. But what's interesting is we've had this stipend for public art for a long time. Whenever you build a house, 50 cents of every what's the percentage?
It's a percentage,
but it goes to a public art fund. All right, we have built up over $600,000 in that public art fund, and it has not been used.
What?
Yeah,
what?
And that's why when Martin Betts went in front of city council, because I stood up and spoke for the public art as well, because I think it enhances our retail. It's been proven over and over again. For instance, if we want to drive more business to the North End, establish it as an art district. I've been pitching that to the North End for a few months now. But to city council's point, which was great, I think it was Richard Montgomery, he said, you guys, because what Martin presented to them was about $158,000, something like that, of the $600,000+, right?
Yeah.
And Richard said, you guys got 600 some thousand. You're only asking to spend a proposal that is only about 158,000. Why don't you ask us?
Right.
Why not go all in and say 250,000 or 300,000?
Well,
yeah.
Let's do something.
But wait a minute.
But part of that money has been used to renovate, upgrade certain cultural things, right? I mean, the art center. Hasn't some of that money been used?
No, is $600,000 in the bank.
Oh, okay.
Carved
I
out
that they,
specifically
okay.
for public art.
Okay.
The other things that have happened have all been funded through, fundraisers or just through their budgets. You know, our cultural arts.
I need $100K. I've got an idea. It's going to be
there
beautiful.
You go.
Big
yeah.
giant egg.
Why do I
everywhere.
Think it involves plants?
Yeah. big giant plants everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that. That comes under, you know, we hired a new environmental person to replace Sona. And that'll come into her. If you want to reach out to her, Joe, that will come into her purview. Plant.
You mean you think she would be into some kind of public planting?
I think, she's an environmental impact, that's her department. That's, you know, it was Sona who put all the drought-tolerant gardens in did away with the smoking and the styrofoam and all of that. So if you have an idea, pitch it to her.
Well, if you're talking about public gardens, there was also an article in the Beach Reporter about a piece of land on Torrance Boulevard, Torrance and Lucia, I think it is. And somebody put together an image of making it into a public garden.
A garden?
Yeah,
a public garden.
Like a community garden type thing. But I don't know if that's going to happen, but it's something that somebody is pushing for. Public gardens are great. Do you know, when I grew up in New York City in the 70s, and Joe, you know, it was a very different place than what it is now. It wasn't Disneyland. It was a dirty, dark, dangerous place, all right? And
right,
there were a lot of vacant lots, like where buildings were torn down and nothing was ever put up. And they put a chain link fence in front of it, and you'd walk by it on your way to school every day, and they were just ugly. And then somebody came up with the idea of community gardens, and we had community gardens sprouting up all over the city. It was fabulous.
Right.
But then, you know, Giuliani came in, he cleaned up the city, you know, the crime went down, and then all of a sudden everybody wanted to be there, and all those vacant lots, they built stuff on, and now there's not so many vacant lots anymore. So, but community gardens are like public art. They're like public art, you know?
Yeah. That's a very – I love that concept, that community gardens are like public art, but plus, public art plus.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah, but
Mark,
again, same situation here, though. You know, land is valuable in the South Bay. You know, it's everybody wants to live here, so there's not a lot of vacant places. So it's interesting, though.
Now, I just want to tell Mark, I think this is an opportunity of enormous proportions, because yesterday we did a show with Sarah Myers, the president and CEO of the Volunteer Center. Have you heard of this organization, Mark? The Volunteer Center?
No. Uh-uh. I don't think so.
Either had we. No. It's incredible.
Yeah.
They've been there since the 60s.
They're a group you call when you need volunteers?
Essentially, they provide volunteers, and they provide the technology to provide volunteers. What they're doing is amazing, but the key idea here is that if Manhattan Beach, if there was some group in Manhattan Beach that wanted to accomplish some task, beautification of this space or beautification of that space, the Volunteer Center could find them an army to work on the project. So, in other words, that $600,000 is all of a sudden $1 million in terms of volunteer labor is available at a call. And the phone number is 310-212-5009. 310-212-5009. It's the Volunteer Center, and it blew me away, the history.
It blew both of us away.
Yeah.
It blew both of us away. Neither of us had ever heard of it. We had a fabulous show with Sarah Myers yesterday. And it's not just – what they do is they bring volunteers and nonprofits together. So you can go online, or you can stop by. They're in Torrance. They're in downtown Torrance in a historical building, which we'll get to in a second, because you got to hear about this because you'll love this. But basically, you can go online and say – you can fill out like, okay, I like to work with kids, yes, no. I like to work with seniors, yes, no. I like to work with my hands. I like to work with children. So you check off all these things, and then you tell them when you're available. It's not necessarily long-term commitments, but you say, you know, I have Tuesday mornings available, and I like to work with children, and I like to be outdoors. And they will match you up with a nonprofit org that needs help. It's amazing. It's amazing. And Joe and I were blown away. And Sarah even said we're the best kept secret in the South Bay. And they've been around for 60 years.
Right. Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
So anyway, since you mentioned that,
yes.
Mark, I don't know if you saw my weekend guide or looked at my website lately, but it's at the top of the page on special events. They are doing a fundraiser. It started yesterday. It's going to run through the end of October. It's called South Bay Escape Room Mortuary Mystery.
Yes, I heard it. Right. Where did I read that?
It was in my weekend guide yesterday. Yeah. And she, you know, that's why we had her on, to tell us about this event, and then we found out all this other great stuff. But I already signed up. I went online and I registered for a certain day and time to go and do it.
Yeah.
But this is a this is the first of its kind. This is the first time anybody, because these escape rooms apparently have been around for a while and they're very popular. But
right.
This is the first time anybody's using it as a fundraising, this is the first time anybody's doing it to raise funds. And it's so interesting because the building that they're in, that the Volunteer Center is in, they own this building. It is a former mortuary. It's a former, it was opened in 1928. It's a historic building. And
does it feel like you're in a mortuary when you're walking around?
I've never been in it. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
So,
well, I'm dying to get in there.
Well, yeah. I already said
that. He's dying to get in there.
I need a team of five people. I signed up for, it's a Friday, October 27th.
$35 a person.
Yes, at
right.
6 p.m. I'm doing the 6 p.m. thing. So if anybody wants to be on my team, go in and sign up now. Because it's only certain times, you know, they're limited as far as, you know, the days and times. They have sessions, a couple of sessions, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturday, and Sunday. So I'm already signed up. I bought my ticket, and I hope some people I know sign up to be on my team because otherwise I'm going to be with a bunch of strangers, which is okay.
Those
are tough.
It's amazing.
Have you done one?
Yes, and Mark.
Yeah, I've done one. You know, it's not easy.
No, it's
if
not
it was
easy.
If it was easy, everybody would do it. I don't
know. I wanted it to be easy.
Oh, no. I don't like it.
I felt I didn't feel that smart afterwards.
As I told Sarah yesterday, I am a puzzle person. You know, every morning.
So
the
you
first
would
thing
do
I
well.
Do, I like crosswords. I play Spider Solitaire. I'm a puzzle person. When you know how when somebody's necklace gets in a knot. And you know, the fine chain. I mean, you know, whenever anything gets in a knot, JB brings it to me because I enjoy doing it. I enjoy getting the knots out, and I can get the knots out of anything. So, anyway, so I'm going to do it. It's going to be fun.
But Mark, the key here is, what about the Manhattan Beach Chamber escape room?
Mm-hmm.
Escape from Manhattan Beach.
I think
Beach
I have enough
studios,
on my plate.
Right? No? Yeah, all right. Okay,
Nice try. Hey, why don't we call Jill Brunkhardt? Let's ambush Jill Brunkhardt and ask her about Best of Manhattan.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Hang on,
Jackie have her phone number?
310.
Don't give it out.
Which,
over the air.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, we're you know, just a couple million people could be listening to us, so we don't want to give out anybody's number.
Yeah,
over.
We've had some strange calls.
I don't have her. It's not in my phone. Let me look here, see if I have it. I know I have it someplace.
I'm sure I can find it too.
Mark, you can just text it to me.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Yeah, cool. But, think about volunteerism, and we think about the city of Manhattan Beach has 500K. If this proposal is approved, they'll have 450K left. Public art, wow, what could be done is amazing, and it's amazing.
That was a great meeting, by
that.
The way. That was a good city council meeting. The chamber, we stood up a couple of times to speak, and one was on behalf of the hometown fair getting a legacy 100% fee waiver as a legacy event. I mean, we're the longest, oldest event. We support more nonprofits than any other event in town. And there's other events that have had 100% fee waiver for a few years now, and we haven't. And so somehow we got left out of the mix. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Anyway,
was
it approved?
They approved it. And so that was one item. Another item was the art, approving public art, which I think is a great positive step forward too. Another item is another item is Sepulveda development. And we are going to put together an ad hoc committee to determine or to make recommendations and suggestions, and that's what we're looking for. Also, any community input, anybody on this call who would like to weigh in on regarding Sepulveda, please call me at the chamber, because or email me at mark@manhattanbeachchamber.com, mark@manhattanbeachchamber.com. But we want to figure out our long-term planning for Sepulveda. We really need to know, you know, because right now we've got a lot of medical buildings. We've got a lot of spaces in play. Some of the retail areas where people want to come in and tear it all down and build a big office building. We've got, you know, we really need to think constructively how we want to develop Sepulveda going forward. So we're just not being paint thrown against the wall. I actually have a plan for development.
Can we talk a little bit about office buildings? Because they're okay in the daytime, but obviously there's no TOT, and there's the night life of an office building is very boring and very, you know, scary. There's
nothing
there.
Well, you don't know.
Nothing
what happens in the office stays in the office. But okay, so say you're a developer and say you're an owner of a big piece of property, and a guy who wants to build an office building comes in and he wants to build this big office building, and he agrees to all the permitting in terms of how many building underground parking, how much, you know, he would have to build to service the building and all of that. Do you not think that the person who owns that property has the right to sell to this guy?
Of course.
So, you know, so we are trying to find ways to somehow meet in the middle, to find those common grounds so we can get owners to maybe think about other ways of development and still have office buildings. I mean, look, Skechers has got a huge piece of a chunk of the real estate along Sepulveda there, and you know that's essentially office buildings, or it is office buildings. We've got, but it's just it. You know, also, well, it's not, and it's not just the buildings themselves, but it's also the street. Now that's managed by Caltrans, but the city, Caltrans apparently is very good about if the city has suggestions for what we should do of following those suggestions and agreeing to them. And one is, do you want traffic calming? You know, there's one group that wants traffic calming along Sepulveda, and then there's one group that says we need to get those one-off cars off the street, out of the parking there, no parking on Sepulveda. We need to get those restricted left-hand lane turns all ripped out, and let's, if people want to get to Hermosa, let's get them to Hermosa. You know?
Right. Right.
And I'm in that camp. I'm in the camp that most of your businesses now that have been built and are developed along Sepulveda have parking in the back of their businesses. I can think of one business that doesn't, but we'll have to figure that out. But these one-offs where you – I mean, they purposely did that, by the way. They stuck one car out there because the mission before was to create traffic calming. Well, I don't think we want traffic coming. I don't think we want to come up over that hill and all of a sudden there's one car and everybody's scooting over to the left and creating issues and you know, scrambling. So let's get those cars off. Let's get people where they want to go. And because everybody knows Sepulveda at certain times is just a car lot. It's like the 405 of the South Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
So
no doubt. Is there anything that can be done that makes sense? Whitening,
well, I think some of those are what we just said. Let's beautify. First of all, let's put some lipstick on Sepulveda. You know, we right now it's you know, it just doesn't, it's not very attractive. So we don't really give a lot of love to Sepulveda. You know, even though it's the majority of our sales tax revenue, it's really where a lot of our money comes from. We don't give it a lot of TLC, right? So we need to do that. We need to do more with our sidewalks along Sepulveda, do more beautification efforts, make it more you know, better drive by appeal, maybe instead of drive up, maybe drive by, but maybe some drive up too, but drive by appeal. I think we need to make sure that it's well lit and it's very safe, because we've had some accidents in certain areas. So that's another issue that needs to be handled. And then secondly, you know, let's get past this traffic calming, because I think the more you calm Sepulveda, the more these cars are going to divert into the side streets to get to, you know, to scoot
right
on to where they want to go. And that's where you run into the problems with neighbors saying, oh, we got to close off our street, we got to put signs, nobody coming on Oak between 5 and 7, you know, things like that. And a lot of it's because it's so slow on Sepulveda at certain times that people are diverting over to these side streets. So let's do everything we can to keep people from doing that, keep them in that lane on Sepulveda. So move those one-off parking cars, parked cars, get them out of there, get rid of the restricted turn lanes, because, you know, all a restricted, in my opinion, all a restricted turn lane does is move you to the next intersection. And so you have your bottleneck there. Whereas, because now that intersection is the people who not only need to turn there because that's the intersection they want to turn, but it's the people who were restricted from turning in the intersection behind them, so they went to that one. So you've doubled up rather than split. And, you know, so let's, you know, people say also
okay.
that that's a safety issue. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Learn to look for cars and not pull in front of a car.
How about actually making the traffic flow faster? What about double-decker driving on Sepulveda through
Manhattan
Beach?
Are you smoking
Manhattan
those plants of yours?
I highly recommend alfalfa. But what
yeah.
what is the...
No. Joe, there's cost involved. That is so expensive. Listen, I pitched putting a walkover from Manhattan Village over to the Point, and everybody working together to do that, and you couldn't get me that to happen, and everybody's excuse was it cost too much money, but you know,
listen,
can't do it.
Listen, I have been reading a lot about how driving is going to change in the next 10 years.
Exactly.
Between the ride sharing, why do they call Uber and Lyft ride sharing? Why do they call it that, Joe?
Because you don't want to use
ride
one,
share.
They don't want to use, because you're sharing your ride. If you are a driver,
yeah.
you're sharing your ride. Here's
I'm sorry. First of all, I just want
to
say
also,
it was never
it's a way
intended.
Not to use Uber. It's a way
yeah,
not
it was
because
never
a lot of times
intended.
When we use it, it's like Xerox. A lot of times we go, oh, you know, more people are now Ubering over there, and what they mean is ride sharing over there, because it's
ride
not necessarily
share.
Uber. It could be Lyft. It
yeah.
could be Ride
right.
Yellow. Could be.
It could be Django. Go ahead.
It was never intended. Originally, Uber was never intended to be a single individual in the back and a single driver. The original concept was sort of revamping Travis Kalanick. His original idea was revamping the idea of a carpool. So
okay.
everybody's right. sharing a ride, and one guy's driving, and everybody pays him. And so that was his original idea, that everybody would pay the driver, but Travis would get a cut because he was going to organize all these carpools.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
but
then
it
turned
they into... They do pooling now. They do pooling now.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I've
yeah.
actually done that. They
Uber
do pool.
Pool
but,
and Lyft Line.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Uber Pool, Lyft
Line. The ride share is just one aspect of it. But, you know, these driverless vehicles, you know, I've
right.
read articles that... And everybody across the board seems to agree that eventually we're not going to need these huge parking lots.
No,
know,
that's what
gonna,
I've been. Yeah.
So you're going to have driverless cars that aren't going to have to park someplace all day. With all of these things across the board, they say that traffic is going to be mitigated tremendously. You're not going to have the issues with parking. You're not going to have need for these giant parking structures. SpaceX just did something. I can't remember what it's called, monohull or something,
yeah.
underground,
right.
a magnetic thing, a loop or mm-hmm. something they're doing.
Yeah.
So there are all of these there's all of these technologies coming on. They're coming. They're coming online now.
No, that's why.
Happening.
Okay.
If you talk to Brad Sperber, if you talk to Brad Sperber at Manhattan Beach Toyota, in fact, he would be a good guy to have on the air sometime to talk about this stuff. Brad, he will tell you that you know he does not expect in 15 years his car dealership to be what it is today, if at all.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it is. Look, I'm seriously think I know people who this is their lifestyle. They don't own a car. I have an event planner,
plenty.
Kim Ruggles, who does not own a car. She doesn't pay gas, insurance, maintenance, parking charges. She doesn't have to worry about where to park or how to find a parking place. Ubers and Lyfts and bikes everywhere.
Yeah. And as I said, the new technologies, the driverless vehicles and
The other thing. They said Lyft, you know, is merging with Ford to work on these driverless vehicles. And I tell you, if you're an Uber driver, your time is borrowed because the whole mission where they were going to make their money, because right now these companies lose tons of money. I'm not sure how profitable any of them are, but they is where they're losing this money is they having to pay all these drivers. And if they can get out of the driver business, holy cow, it becomes a cash cow.
It's not just the drivers. These articles I'm reading, it's going to revolutionize the trucking industry,
along with that.
And it's already doing it. Yeah, exactly. And drones.
They're already driverless trucks.
Drones, they're delivering stuff. Yeah.
Dubai wants to be thought of as the forefront of all of this. So they're – like everything that what we have happened in 2018, they did in 2017 or 16.
Right.
So right now, 2018, what Dubai is doing, they're even going another step, and they're doing little commuter airplanes.
Yeah.
Right.
So all of these traffic issues, I believe, are going to just go away. I don't believe cities have to do anything more. It's going to go away, and we're talking 10 years. We're not talking 50 years in the future. So, I foresee a future where Sepulveda Boulevard is not going to be the parking lot it is during rush hour.
North End said that they're saving their money. The North End Business District said they're saving their money because they may have to build a parking lot. And one of my comments to them, this was a few months ago, was, guys, that's going to be the least of the things that you're going to want to invest in down the road.
Yeah.
No one is going to be using cars. And our kids' kids, our grandkids, won't own cars.
Right.
Well, again, the mindset, the millennials, which we've talked about this before, millennials, their mindset is not ownership. They don't want to own homes. They don't want to own cars. They don't own their music. They don't own books.
That's interesting. I have a nephew that moved out here from back east, and he's looking for, he's finding his way. He's 29 years old, and he sold his car back there, and he came here, and so now he's looking for just an old jalopy that he can buy that'll get him around. I said, why? So I'm not sure those millennials. I think maybe the Gen. What is it? What's the next Gen?
Gen X or Gen Y?
That was before the millennials.
Yeah, Gen T.
I think they're
the ones. But my sons, they still want to own a car. This nephew still wants to own a car, and I think, holy cow, I'm 61, and I'm thinking of getting rid of my car. What do I need gas and maintenance and all of this other stuff for? I'm just going to get my VW van, to get away for the weekend.
Right.
And I'll rent the VW van. I'll rent it.
Yeah.
And then, because I'm not going to go away every weekend. See, that's the whole thing. When I lived in New York and when I lived in Chicago, New York mainly, I didn't have a car. Whenever I wanted to go up to Maine or someplace, I rented a car. I wasn't, I didn't want to pay for parking and all of this other stuff in New York.
The millennials, that has been documented. Your sons and your nephew, I think, are not the norm. But it's been documented because they grew up not owning. You know, I have a library full of books. You know, anybody under 30 that walks into my house is like, books? You know,
I started getting rid of those. It's interesting. Yeah. I had a huge stacks of, I mean, walls of books. And I actually selectively went through and said, okay, I've got my little free library out front. I started putting them in there. I started moving around to other little free libraries. And I've purged on the books. I mean, my kids aren't going to read them. You know, now ones that really have some kind of value, I've kept. But, you know. So,
but as
you know,
said,
like everyone poops, that one.
That one's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I love the story.
But anyway, as I said, that's been fairly well documented. And as you said, their children will be even more so, you know. Yeah. So a lot of, as I said, the traffic and parking issues are not going to, they're going to be non-issues in the future. What's going to be really interesting is how that's going to affect future development. Like, for instance, if we said to the people against the Redondo waterfront, say, hey, you're not going to have to worry about parking your cars anymore, I wonder if they'll get on board with redoing the waterfront. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That'll be interesting.
Right.
You know,
well,
that's all
I think, like
about.
You said,
even about
what?
Traffic, we don't have enough parking, blah, 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 blah. But if you turn around and you say to them, you know something? We don't have to build that giant parking structure.
Well, it's already beginning to happen a little bit in that, you know, in fact, when I use the term Manhattan Village Mall, I go, should I be saying mall? Shouldn't I be saying Manhattan Village Center or whatever? I mean, I think, okay, now that's antiquated. They shouldn't be using that word. Retail center or something like that. But all of them now are starting to look at, and you've heard it, you know, we're creating lifestyle malls. You
right.
know,
well,
where you have big
lifestyle
bike paths and your big seating areas outside where you can have music or, you know, you can do things out, you know, interactive and things like that. And when they take away the cars, I think what's left is you're really going to see, and it's already starting, you're just going to see more of these areas, and that includes Sepulveda, that includes our retail areas. It will be those areas, actually. They will become more lifestyle centric, and they will become environments, and it won't be just cars zooming by. They'll become environments, which that's super exciting, not only from an environmental standpoint, but just from a lifestyle standpoint.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know something, there is no, you know, I hate it when people say retail is dead. Retail is not dead. Go to Del Amo. Anytime, any day, and you can't find parking. The place is – every parking space is amazing.
I had to
run
over to Westfield Mall to pick up some to meet with the U.S. Army over there. They've got a great recruitment program. I'm thinking of taking them up on it. I'm asking them, you know, seniors, do they take seniors? I just want the workout plan. 6-week boot camp. But holy cow, when, you know, because you think, oh, retail's dead and, you know, all of this stuff. But I went over there, holy mackerel, it was crap packed. It was packed.
Yeah.
And that was like it was a Saturday. So, but I mean, packed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
crowded.
If anything, the Grove and Brand at Americana at Brand has shown us, if you do it right, it's going to be
exactly.
a success.
Exactly.
You
and
know,
that's where,
you gotta, that's where the that's, lifestyle aspect of it comes in.
Well, because what they're saying is, and I'm wondering how, if I saw any of those, I did, at Westfield Mall, there were those big anchor, but what they're saying is going away are these huge anchor tenants, that it's going to be more boutique-y and, you know, one-offs where, you know, more interesting type stuff so that, you know, or either that or these big anchor tenants, because that's where people are not shopping maybe is, you know, the Macy's of the world. And
well, it's all about the experience now.
Right.
And,
so Macy's
and, you know,
has to
some
evolve.
Retail, yeah. Yeah. Well, look at Nordstrom. Look at how successful Nordstrom is.
Yeah.
And it's always been known to that. It's always a great shopping experience in Nordstrom. And that's where it cut the lifestyle center. That's what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's the experience. you know, and again, I've read several articles on this. You know, anytime I see an article that says retail is dead, who says that, whatever, I read them. And what there's and a lot of what's happening, because you hear about Sears closing 163 stores and this and Banana
Unbelievable.
Republic closing 50 stores. No, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. There's a
they
Banana
didn't
Republic.
They didn't evolve. They didn't evolve.
Well, no, they overreached. They're in every mall in the South Bay. We don't need 10 Banana Republics in the South Bay. Have
right, but also is Sears, the Sears you went to 20, 30 years ago,
right.
If you walk into a Sears today, is that the same Sears?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I think it is.
Evolved.
I think
it
it's
is.
Exactly
they
the same Sears.
They haven't
evolved.
Evolved.
They haven't made my experience special going into a Sears.
Yeah.
You know?
But
yeah.
You know something?
Yeah.
There's always going to be a need for that, because I got to tell you something. This is interesting. When I went off to do some work with Habitat for Humanity, they sent me a list of things I needed: steel shank boots, respirators, those.
No,
Tyvek
I'm not
suits.
Saying that you can't.
Wait! I had a list of things I had to get, and the only place to get all of them was at Sears. So
no,
there's
I get
always
that.
There's always going to be a need for Sears, but we don't need five of them.
Well,
you know
but
I mean?
Also, well, not only that. But when you walk in my opinion, you walk into the Sears, you're still going to go after the Craftsman tools and, you know, look
right.
at different things and stuff like that. But, and it just made me think of something else. But why can't they make the experience more interesting? Like, what if there were monitors that actually showed you how to use that tool? Or
right.
Did you read the article, Best Buy? I think I posted it on Facebook. Best Buy... They said, how did Best Buy survive when Circuit City and all these others fell by the wayside? And when the new CEO took place, one thing he did, he said, first of all, I said, we're going to lose money, but I want our value for all of our stuff. I want no one can undervalue us on product. Okay? No
right.
one can undervalue. It's the old bring in the coupon, and if it's less
right.
than what we're selling it for, you get it at that price. No one. So he started doing that. Secondly, he really tried to concentrate on customer service.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe not everybody's mm-hmm. had the best experience at customer service at Best Buy, but he really was working on that, on customer service. And he said those things, you know, and now it's kind of like the cable and PBS. PBS just kept going along. Sears just kept going along. Next thing you know, Best Buy is eating your lunch and the Discovery Channel is eating your lunch, you know, because
right.
they just wouldn't evolve. They wouldn't change. They wouldn't.
Right.
Right.
They didn't see the curve in the road and what was happening on the, you know, around the curve. You have to look at that stuff. And so what makes you, so why did Best Buy survive and Circuit City not, and some of these others not, you know, and I thought it was a super article from the CEO.
Yeah.
Really great. And he, oh, the other thing he did, he took care of his employees. He said, and the other thing is, I took care of my employees. I made sure that, you know, they weren't the lowest paid out there. You know, they, and we had reward programs and incentives and all these kinds
right.
of things. They also got an employee discount that was significant. I mean, it got, I remember a kid, a friend of mine, or my son, a friend of his, he had one of those jobs, you know, when he was in high school or whatever, working at Best Buy, and he loved it because of the employee discount he got on stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So you make that
right.
a good place to work, and, you know, so it was really interesting because you wonder, how is Best Buy? They're growing. They're not declining.
Right.
You know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. It's like anything, you know, small businesses that are struggling – and there are several in the South Bay. You know, you see things on Facebook saying, hey, we may have to close our doors. I know of a couple that this has happened to. But the fact of the matter is, if you're not serving the needs of your customers, you're going to go out of business. And that's
let me
just
talk
a fact
about,
of life.
Right. Let me talk about, and we're going to start, put my chamber hat on now. We are one of the things we're going to do. I've been telling people, you know, we're going to play more small ball, and mainly for our small businesses. I mean, Skechers doesn't need it, Chevron doesn't need it, but certainly restaurants, bars, small businesses, all of these guys need it. Like for instance, this seminar coming up October 5th, It's a legal seminar October at the Manhattan Beach Library from 10 until noon, free, totally free for members. I'm not charged. By the way, in your calendar, you had $15 charge for the mixer. We do not charge for our mixers anymore. If you are a chamber member, you can come to Rob Rubin's, get that wristband, and network to your heart's content, 5:30 to 7:30.
Okay, I'll have to
absolutely free.
Okay.
We're not
going to
nickel and dime our members anymore with that kind of stuff. Now, for lunches, we have to charge because we have some hard costs there. So same thing with these seminars, free to members, okay? So the next one coming up is a legal seminar called You Don't Know What You Don't Know, because a lot of these small businesses, they don't know. There's a lot of rules coming down from Sacramento, coming in from Washington, regarding employees now, 1099s versus, you know, you've been 1099ing this guy, and he might be full-time, and you better be careful because, you know, if you're 1099ing a person and they're putting in 40 hours, in their eyes, you've got a full-time employee. You know, if they're consistently at your shop. And so a lot of these small businesses have to start thinking about that. And a lot of this stuff's going to start coming down, and they're going to start playing hardball with these small businesses, that you have to make that person a full-time employee because they're already putting in 40 hours for you. And there's a lot of other little things, you know, copyrights and trademarks and things like that that you need to know. And then our next seminar at the end of the month is called Content Beyond Words. And this is one we're doing the second time because, and this is something you guys might want to go to, first of all, totally free, it was so successful the first time, we're doing it again. People just loved it. And that is how to create these engaging videos to promote your business from your own computer. It's a do-it-yourself. And Ronnie Ramos is going to show everybody how to do that and a couple of apps you can use, and you can literally sit at your computer and create your own incredible video for your business that you can put on, let live on Facebook or your website or send it to clients or whatever. You know, you can create image pieces or special event pieces, and it looks like it was done by, you know, a production company. I mean, really great. And that's October 26th, 10 to noon at the library as well. And we always have some snacks and some water and coffee there. So that's another really good one. But we also want to do one on cybersecurity. We want to do one on, you know, how to keep that customer, how to get that return repeat business, you know, all of these things. We want to start doing more things like this so that we can start getting our small businesses, the guys who wear more than one hat, working as sharp as possible.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Right.
That's
fantastic. Well, what a great show this has been. We've talked about so many different topics.
Did we solve all the world's problems this morning?
Yes, we did.
The other thing
that I'm exploring, which I'm excited about too. I've got the guy's sending me a proposal and all this. No other chamber's doing this. It's an online system for all of our members to connect with other chamber members. And you basically profile who you're looking for, it's a networking online thing that pushes information onto you. In other words, you don't have to go on there and search yourself. If you set it up, if you join and get into the system through the chamber, and you say, you know, I'm looking for this income level, this person, this kind of company, whatever, then they will hook you up with somebody else at the chamber who fits that profile.
Wow.
You know, so it's like networking online at your desk versus, showing up at every mixer and lunch and event.
Right.
You know, but I think that's going to be a cool, you know, that's a very 21st century thing too. And, you know, we're developing our young professionals group too. So
young entrepreneurs.
That's another thing. We should have a show on that as well pretty soon. Because I've got 15 students now for the young entrepreneurs, and our first meeting with the students and parents is October 17th. And I forgot to tell you guys, hey, I don't suppose you guys, I can't pay you, but you guys should do, or might want to consider doing a remote from our street food cinema, Saturday night, October 14th. And we're going to have, I've got 25 artists out there. I've got 6 food trucks. I've got a movie, Wonder Woman. It's all about Jackie.
Right.
And
right.
It's really going to be cool. Really going to be cool.
Yeah, that's. I think that's the last big outdoor event of the summer. This weekend is the final concert at Nelson's, and then the movie cinema at the Marriott is kind of well. But we have the hometown fair to look forward to.
That's October 7th
right.
and 8th, and I'm on that board. And that's going to be a blast. It's going to be a blast. I've got I've got 14 bands in Battle of the Bands that will just rock your socks off. They are unbelievable. You're going, holy cow, these are 15-year-olds? Holy cow, 14-year-olds? Wow. You know, and they are just tight. They're just jamming up there. You go, man, wow.
Yeah.
You know?
And the final – is today the final voting for the Best of Manhattan? Is that
today,
it tonight?
5 o'clock. 5 o'clock is the last chance to vote for your Best of Manhattan finalists. And then, and you know, another place you guys might want to do a remote, we're doing a meet the finalists party at Beau Bridges Gallery October 12th. You think? And now you want me to start something, Joe? No way. I don't have time for that.
Right.
So October 12th, we're doing a Meet the Finalists at Beau Bridges Gallery, 5:30 to 8 p.m. Wine, beer, food. Really going to be fun. Going to be fun.
Great.
To meet all these businesses.
Great.
You know, they're all going to be showcased, except my wife, Tammy, of course, because she's got a gig that night. I'm going, geez.
Of course. Tammy Lips, the hardest working woman in the South Bay.
No kidding. I'm a caterer's widow.
That's right. Wow. Being married to a caterer, there's the ups and there's the downs.
Right.
You know,
there's
you got to have
pros
ups.
And the cons.
You can't have ups. You have pros and the cons. You can't have one without the other. You know, you get to eat well.
While our three boys were little babies. You know, I was pitching TV shows for years, jumping on planes on a Monday and coming back on a Friday, you know, for years.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know, it's my karma coming back to me is what's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm
yeah.
not taking care of three babies.
No.
Yeah. That's
no.
That's true.
No, instead, mom's not here. Let's go get a beer.
The joys.
They're not
the
babies anymore.
The joys
they're
of
not
adult
babies.
Children.
Yeah. I was thinking about
Joe
that, Mark. My
Joe
wife,
knows him.
My wife was telling me that I should take my son out for a beer and find out what he's doing and what's going on in his life, and you know, because he doesn't talk. So,
well, did you read my Happy Friday?
I'm
so, Joe,
I haven't had a
I'm
chance
so
yet.
Excited about, you know, our kids are all different but yet the same sort of thing, Joe, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
My oldest son, this is something we all want to do, right? He says, Dad, I'm working on my bike out in the garage. Come over and spend some time with me. Holy mackerel. I was over there like a shot out of a cannon. And sat in the garage while he worked on his motorcycle, and his girlfriend was in, you know, in the apartment. I mean,
oh,
it was so domestic.
Beautiful.
And so he built a whole workbench and whole thing. And, you know, I watched him clean up, put his tools. This is what I said in the Happy Friday. I watched him put his tools away. Clean up, put everything where it was supposed to live. I'm going, what happened? Where's the kid I know? When did this metamorphosis Holy mackerel. You know, I mean, he's putting stuff away. So it was, and, you know, and then I got another kid who just worked, the one you know, Joe, really well, Jackson, nonstop works. But the problem, here's the problem with the, and we should do a show on this, the problem with these kids, some of these kids like Jackson, like Gabe's working 9 to 5, so he gets to indulge his other interests like music and motorcycles and all of that, and do things with his girlfriend and all that stuff. Jackson works nonstop. So when he gets off work, he is beat. He's tired. He just wants to have a – it's Miller time, and he just wants to relax and kick back. But then he's right back at these long hours in TV, you know, working from – I mean, he'll leave at 5 and 6 in the morning, come back at 8 or 9 that night. You know, I mean, he's making great money, but there's no time to develop other interests. There's no time to find other substance, you know, that makes you – you know, that interests you.
A more well-rounded person.
Right, exactly. Right. Exactly.
Right.
And
yeah.
So, and then my third son, who's at University of Oregon, what I love about him, he's doing what I wanted Jackson to do more of, was he's taking advantage of college. You know, he's not only taking your core academics, but he's taking rock climbing. He's going to do a scuba diving class. He's going to do, you know, I love that. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
And I'm sending the bills to you, Joe, since your kid's on it.
Yes, of course. I will review them. I will mark them up, and I'll send them right back. Oh, you want to
with notes like, you're paying too much, Mark. See you. Thanks.
Right. Oh. Right. We can negotiate this.
Okay. Jeez. Okay, boys. We need to wrap this up.
All right.
All right.
Thank you very much. This was
you know
a great
what?
Show.
We should do these more often, by the way. Maybe once a month. We do these. I love these.
Really is valuable. We don't really, I think we discount how valuable it is to have a free-form discussion, because it does bring up so many different topics that it keeps.
Well, when
it,
I used to, we should give it a name, call it something, you know, Coffee with Mark and Joe and Jackie or whatever.
It's,
you
it's called Chamber Chat. MB
or Chamber Chat.
Chat.
Right.
It's a free-for-all. It's a
good,
free-for-all.
Good.
Yeah.
All righty, guys.
All right, everybody.
Mark.
Thank you, Jackie.
Always a pleasure, Joe. Everybody have a nice weekend.
Have a great weekend.
And,
I'm climbing Mount Baldy.
All right.
Fun.
Do you have any notes, Jackie, for the people out there? Any notes coming up that we want to give them, or it's all in the weekend guide?
The weekend guide came out yesterday. It's all there.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll see you soon. Thanks, everybody.
All right.
Bye-bye.
See you guys. Bye-bye.